coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
We found out that a lot of reviews on some of these major retail websites are unreliable.
So yeah, they're still very much looking for reviews, but they'll just use them as one of potentially many sources of information.
Meredith, don't let it in the Range Rover, it'll only drive it away!
These earphones have reviews from children's coloring books. Like, what is going on here?
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, can you trust online reviews?
So, what do we have to look forward to today? Well, we'll be talking all things online review. We'll be speaking to Tommy Noonan, founder at review verification website ReviewMeta.com. But first, in what's been a busy week for Mike on the telephone, he spoke to Suzanne Kapner of the Wall Street Journal in the wake of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Suzanne has been warning consumers to stay aware of fake reviews.
We're joined by Suzanne Kapner, a reporter for the Wall Street Journal covering the retail and fashion industries. Suzanne, thanks for joining us. You recently wrote about the scourge of fake reviews on popular shopping sites. Can you tell us what you found out?
We found out that almost a third of reviews on some of these major retail websites are unreliable. And by that, I mean they may have been written by a robot or people who were paid to write them, either, you know, with cash or with free products. And so you can't really rely on them as being honest reviews.
And that's such a challenge, right? With the kind of growth of e-commerce and online, so many of us look at reviews when we're thinking about what hotel we should stay at or what headphones to buy. How has your research affected how you look at reviews? Do you still use them?
Well, I do, just because there really isn't a good substitute, but I'm much more skeptical now, and I read them more carefully now that I know what to look for. So some of the red flags include if a review is very short, you know, one or two words like great item, love it, that can be a red flag. If there's, you know, grammar, improper English, that can be a red flag that it was either generated by a robot or a lot of times it's, you know, Chinese manufacturers who are paying to write these fake reviews, because that makes all the difference to what they can sell, especially on Amazon. When you have a lot of five-star reviews on Amazon, that correlates to sales. So, you know, they will pay people to write these reviews, and sometimes the grammar, the English isn't always accurate. And you other things are you want to look at reviews over a long span of time. So really scroll down, and, you know, if you see all of a sudden a lot of five-star reviews clustered around a particular day, that's another warning sign.
That makes a lot of sense. And with Black Friday and Cyber Monday still with us, I think it's great advice for our listeners. Look, you rightly kind of talk about Amazon, and Amazon attracts, you know, the bulk of feedback around reviews because it's such a massive player, and reviews are fundamental to how the company operates and how us users figure out what we pick up on Amazon. Do you think Amazon is also incentivized to encourage those positive reviews on their website?
Well, they say they're not, and they say they have policies in place to prevent fake or fraudulent reviews. They say they've spent $400 million in the last year combating this problem, including preventing something like 13 million attempts to write inauthentic reviews. But, you know, they have a program called Vine where their best reviewers get products for free that they then can review. You know, the more reviews there are for products sold on Amazon, whether it's the marketplace or Amazon directly, the higher the sales. So, you know, they, like any retailer, they want a lot of reviews, and especially a lot of positive reviews.
It's a fine line to tread if you're a website and you've got consumers and they're thinking about what product, what service they want, and reviews are such a key part of that. It's a fine line, I think, for firms like Amazon to tread, as you point out. And Amazon Vine is, it sounds, the first time I've heard about it, and it does sound like a very kind of tough line to balance for Amazon and for consumers.
It is. And, you know, Walmart, for instance, you know, to catch up to Amazon, they outsource reviews through a third party. So some of the reviews that you'll see on Walmart's website are not not from people who bought the product from Walmart. They could have bought it from the brand, the manufacturer. They could have reviewed, the review could have been generated on some one of these review websites. You know, there are sites now that just post reviews of products, mattress products or beauty products. So that's another thing that can be misleading to consumers when, you know, you're reading all these reviews and the person may have bought the product somewhere else and had an entirely different experience.
Over the coming years then, so there's a couple of fundamentals that I think we can all agree on, right? E-commerce is going to get bigger. More of us are going to buy stuff online and look to research products and services online. And reviews are probably still going to be one of those kind of key ways that we go about trying to figure out if a product or service is any good for us. Do you think over the coming years, the fake review problem is going to get bigger, or do you think firms like Amazon are going to sort it out and kind of clamp down on the phenomenon?
Well, I do think it's really hard to clamp down on it, as we can see with a recent Federal Trade Commission case where there was this beauty company, Sunday Riley, who was the CEO and managers of the company were instructing their employees to open fake Sephora accounts and post reviews as if they were actual customers. And Sephora got wise to this problem and they blocked all the reviews coming from the company's IP addresses. Well, then they just kind of skirted that by using, a virtual network that kind of encrypted where the emails were coming from, and they went ahead and kept posting. So it's really like a whack-a-mole type of problem for retailers to try to get a handle on this.
I guess anywhere that there's money to be made in good reviews, there's going to be a lot of people trying to game the system, and that's one of the biggest challenges I think the industry faces. Well, look, Suzanne, that was amazing having you on. Thank you so much. How can our listeners keep up to date with your work?
By reading the Wall Street Journal.
Perfect.
Good day. You are through to Marks & Spencer Online Customer Service. Sean Hayes speaking. How can I make you smile today?
Hello. So what it is it's this. I ordered one of your Christmas turkeys for the annual family Christmas dinner this year. And we have the whole family making their way down. It really looks like it's going to be a lovely day. We ordered three turkeys on the basis of some fantastic reviews we read online. They all said it was a 5-star turkey. Juicy, tender, succulent, you know, the full works. And I thought, you know, how wonderful. But there's a major problem with the turkeys we ordered.
And what could that be?
What it is you all delivered three living turkeys and they're running around, swanning around my house like they own the place, and we really need this sorted because we can't eat live turkeys for our Christmas lunch.
Okay, I would definitely, so you ordered that online, you say?
Yes. I just need to know, you know, my wife Meredith, she's trying to tame the beasts, but she's having no luck. You know, I suggest we get someone around her to collect these three creatures, honestly, because they're wreaking havoc.
Okay, I would definitely have a look into that for you. Could you provide me with your full name, please?
Yes, it's Samuel Money.
Samuel Money. And could you provide me with the number that is linked to your profile?
I'm really sorry. I don't have any of this information. Ow. Sorry, one of them's nipping at my ankles. Meredith, if it's so desperate to get in the pantry, just let him in. I'm really sorry. I don't have any numbers. I just need to know, God, look, oh God, one's making its way towards the Range Rover. I've got to go, I'm afraid.
Okay, then, hello?
Meredith, don't let it in the Range Rover, it'll only drive it away.
Next up, Mike spoke with Tommy Noonan, the founder at ReviewMeta.com, a free web tool that analyzes millions of reviews and gives you a trust score for products with all the reviews it deems untrustworthy removed. Take it away, Mike.
On today's show, we're joined by Tommy Noonan, founder of ReviewMeta.com. ReviewMeta.com is a tool that can help you to spot fake Amazon reviews. Thanks for joining us on Money Bites, Tommy. Can you tell us, why did ReviewMeta.com come to life?
So I spent about a dozen years running a site called Supplement Reviews, which was basically the Yelp for fitness supplements. I spent just a ton of time investigating reviews on my own platform that were fake. And, you know, the supplement industry is riddled with people that, you know, want to review their own products or hire people to review their own products. And after about a dozen years, one of my visitors suggested that I go look at products on Amazon because I was, you know, known to be a good fake review hunter. And I sat down one day and I read every single review of a testosterone booster that had 580 reviews, and my jaw just basically hit the floor. There were multiple cases where people were saying, I have not used this product, but I'm giving it 5 stars because they offered me a free fat burner or something. It doesn't get any more clear that this is a fake review when they say they haven't even reviewed the product. They're admitting it in their review. And there were just tons of other abnormalities. Like the first 30 reviewers of the product had only reviewed products from that brand and gave everything 5 stars. I mean, it was just, it was blatant once you start digging into it. But the problem is most people don't sit down and read every one of those 580 reviews, take 8 hours and tally up all the stats that they can find and write a thorough report about their findings. And as I was doing that, the gears were turning in my head and I was like, you know what, I could write a computer program to do all this research for me, and then I could point it to any product and have it generate a report. And that's how ReviewMeta was born.
Bang, that's what brought ReviewMeta.com to life. So you talked about the blatant, the most obvious cases that we can kind of come across. So people telling us that they haven't had the product before, dead giveaway that it's not a genuine customer review. What other things have you spotted that kind of signal that actually not all is well when they're looking at a review?
The reviews that I was looking at, this was like almost 4 years ago when I did this whole analysis on that testosterone booster. And what's interesting is that entire company is banned from Amazon now. And, you know, they got banned for fake reviews. So Amazon has come a long way to cleaning up some of the just really obvious ones. Something I've noticed is if every review has a picture or video on it, then something's going on, right? Because normally it's like 1 to 3% of the reviewers will take a picture of the product and post that with their review. But you look at these review clubs that are telling people like, hey, like write a thorough review, take pictures of it, you know, make your reviews look really legit. And then you go to the product and you see every single review has a picture of it. And you're like, why? How come everyone decided to take a picture of this product? So that's another telltale sign.
And do you think that in general it's getting actually harder to spot the fakes than it would have been, you know, when you kind of kicked off ReviewMeta those few years ago?
In some ways, yes, and in some ways, no. The game is always evolving. In 2016, there's this huge influx of reviewers that would leave a little disclaimer on their review saying, I got this product for free or at a discount in exchange for my honest and unbiased review. And they're legally required by law to do that if they're, you know, given a free product in exchange for a review. And that was allowed by Amazon actually up until I think about October 2016. And the reason they banned it is because it got completely out of control. About half of all new reviews, according to my data, were had that disclaimer in them. And it was like you couldn't look at any product that didn't have just tons of reviews that said, I got this for free. And it was kind of killing the credibility of their platform. So that changed. You know, Amazon made a rule to ban those and started deleting all of them and kicking off companies that abuse that. But it kind of just pushed the problem underground. And like I was saying earlier, now they have these review clubs on Facebook and they say, don't leave a disclaimer, but do take pictures of it, you know? And so the warning signs have just kind of changed over time.
Can you tell us a bit more about review hijacking and what that means from an Amazon perspective?
It's such a strange phenomenon because when I discovered it, you know, over a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now, people would write in to ReviewMeta and they would say, hey, there's something wrong with your site. It's basically saying that, you know, it's pulling the wrong reviews for the wrong products. This headset I looked up, it's got reviews from, you know, children's toys or something. And I, you know, like, I'm like, oh dear, something's wrong with my site. You know, maybe there's a bug. And I like look at it and then I go on Amazon. And I'm like, oh wow, this, you know, these earphones have reviews from children's coloring books. Like, what is going on here? You know, and it took a while to kind of realize, like, you know, Amazon is a marketplace and sellers can create listings, they can edit listings, they can merge listings. And so that's what's going on is, is basically sellers are finding expired listings or, you know, unavailable listings, and they're basically rewriting the title and description of the product and changing it from a colored pencil book to, you know, a set of Bluetooth headphones, and they're keeping all the reviews. So you look at all the first, you know, the first couple hundred reviews, and those are for children's toys or whatever. And it's just, you know, I had to add some extra features to Review Meta to help detect this, because the problem is that all those reviews are honest. Like, those are the definition of, you know, natural reviews for the, but they're just for the wrong product. So it's not, they're not technically fake. Nobody actually wrote a review and lied. It just so happened that, you know, sellers have found this way to steal them. And Amazon still has not fully fix the problem. They're getting better and better about catching the abusers and cleaning everything up, but it still happens. And it's just, it's bananas that, like, I never thought that this could be a thing. You know, I never thought that that could be a way that people could generate inauthentic reviews on their listings. It's just kind of like, and it blows everybody's minds, because nobody thinks that that's a thing. They don't realize that Amazon's a marketplace and you can just change a product listing from something that's totally unrelated and keep all the reviews. It just seems like an oversight by Amazon.
All of this points to, you know, good reviews online. It means more sales. It means money for whoever's selling the product or selling the service. And then there you are with Review Meta highlighting all these kind of fake reviews. You must have, over the last few years, upset quite a few people. Have you ever faced any retaliation from online vendors?
Yeah, if you just Google around, there's a lot of criticism about Review Meta. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we'll get people writing in, you know, maybe once or twice a week with just nasty, really nasty messages. I posted one on Twitter the other day, and it was someone, they were complaining about how we marked their daughter's review as fake. Or, you know, we don't mark it as fake, we mark it as unnatural. He was complaining, he was like, I know the reviewer, it's my daughter, and she has a personal relationship with the author, you know, and it's like, well, that means she's biased. If she has a personal relationship with the author of a book that she's reviewing, that means she's biased.
As the years go by, the importance that consumers place on reviews is increasing, but at the same time, more consumers know that, you know, it's not a foolproof mechanism, right? The stuff that you're talking about, that you've spotted with Review Meta, you know, people kind of have that in the back of their mind when they're looking at reviews. And yet it still remains a mechanism that you look to when you want to figure out whether a particular product or service is any good. If you could make one change about the review industry, so for tomorrow you're in charge of the world of online reviews, what one change would you make to make things better for consumers?
Oh, my.
The power is with you, Tommy. The power is with you.
I never thought about it. I mean, it's so hard to get, you know, these companies to change. My one thing that I would do is just dramatically increase transparency. Every review should show, you know, the profile of the reviewer, and without having to click on the reviewer, you should be able to see how many reviews do they have, what is their average star rating, how long have they been a reviewer. Just these basic stats about the reviewer should be displayed alongside the review. And then it should also show, like, how much did you pay for the product? When did you buy it? When did you receive it? I mean, just a couple of these dates would really go a long way to show, like, hey, did this person just open the box and now they're reviewing it? Or have they had it for 6 months and they've had plenty of time to test it? And then, you know, you'd have better filters. You could, you know, obviously you'd ban unverified purchases, but you'd have filters. You can say, hey, show me only reviews from people that have owned the product for 6 months or more, and then, you know, recalculate the average star rating that way. So, you know, one of the biggest things I've tried to do with Review Meta is just increase transparency and say, hey, here's the rating trend over time, and, you know, here's the average star rating that was left by all the reviewers. Like, are these guys easy graders or are they critical reviewers? So I think that kind of just showing a lot more information and transparency is the way to go forward in the review industry.
Well, look, Tommy, thank you for coming on Money Bites this week. Where can our listeners find out more about Review Meta?
Sure. Just go to reviewmeta.com. We've got a blog. You can go to reviewmeta.com/blog. And I try to post every couple of weeks with, you know, new information about scams that I find on Amazon or updates about the site.
So today we're asking, can you trust online reviews? Mike, isn't that a bit of an odd question for a review website to be asking?
Well, yeah, you know, Nate, we don't mind asking awkward questions around here. But in all seriousness, I think it's a really important question that we have to ask, because customers really take note of reviews when they're deciding which products or services they should sign up for or buy. And in the world of Smart Money People, as a financial review website, they're coming to us to find out if a new bank is any good, or if a cheap car insurance provider can be trusted, or even to find out what a robo-advisor is. And what we've learned since setting up Smart Money People is that the vast majority of people that come to our website don't intend to write a review. They're really just using us as a research tool. And this can be as high as one review for every 300 people that visit the website in research mode.
So, reviews seem to have become really important in the last few years. Travel reviews at TripAdvisor, Uber driver passenger reviews, and Airbnb reviews. You know, why have reviews exploded?
Well, Nate, at the heart of it, I think reviews are a really simple way of potential customers to understand what other customers have to say about a particular product or service. And in a world full of lots of new stuff, that's really valuable. And what we found is that our reviews can be quite insightful too. So they can identify good points and bad points about particular products, as well as very specific issues that particular companies might have.
So the title of this week's episode is, Can We Trust Online Reviews? What do you think, Mike?
Well, I think the honest truth is that not always. There's a massive marketing incentive for firms to have the best reviews, right? The better your reviews are, the more you're going to sell. So there's always going to be firms that try to game the system. And that is a real problem when consumers are using them to try and find out what products and services they should spend their hard-earned money on. And what we've also found is that there's such a wide range of practices about how websites with reviews operate. And being a bit of a review geek, I had a bit of a look. And let me get out the quote. And it says, as Tastecard is a cooperative with our restaurants, if a restaurant objects to a review, we will remove it. Well, WTF. They'll remove reviews a restaurant doesn't like. Now, I understand why a restaurant likes that, but how can that be any good for customers? And my view is that we need bodies like the Competitions and Market Authority or the Office of Fair Trading to come up with some basic guidelines for all websites showing reviews. And until then, it's going to be really hard for customers to ever fully trust reviews. And actually, what we're seeing a lot more is customers looking for multiple sources of information to back up their decisions. So yeah, they're still very much looking for reviews, but they'll just use them as one of potentially many sources of information to help them make up their mind about a particular product or service.
So Mike, what are the biggest issues you've seen around reviews?
Well, I think the biggest issue that we found at Smart Money People is around financial firms and products that are clearly poor, but have marketing teams determined to hoodwink customers. So for decades, financial services attracted people that like making money, but aren't always that keen on delivering good products and services. And we've certainly spotted firms basically sitting at their desks and trying to write their own reviews in an attempt to deceive their potential customers.
How can we spot companies trying to game the system?
Well, I think it's a range of things. So some of the things that we do around tracking IPs and cities, or actually even understanding any patterns and any deviations from that. So say a string of 5-star reviews comes in for a particular firm that gets 1 or 2 pieces of feedback a month, we can kind of sense that something might be up. And we also capture email addresses from every reviewer to allow us to verify customer reviews if we spot any suspicious activity.
So with millions of customers reading reviews, what more can review websites like Smart Money People do?
Well, look, firstly, we are not here to pretend that all financial firms are good, because they're not. It's our role to try and provide a platform that allows consumers to share honest feedback and not to whitewash firms and pretend that everything is amazing. And it's why I think that we've spoken about issues our reviews have identified around black box insurance in particular. And in the months ahead, we plan to do more to help customers understand where the reviews for a particular firm or product are coming from. Say if they're all coming from a particular town. And we're hoping to work closer with key governmental bodies to drive up standards in the world of online reviews.
Thanks for that, Mike and Nate.
And that's all the time we have for this week's Money Bites. Thanks to Suzanne Kapner of the Wall Street Journal and Tommy Noonan of ReviewMeta.com. Please do remember to review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye!